satisfy our every need. So, Lord, meet us now in our need and fulfill our need for you by coming into our hearts and filling us with your word, filling us with your word, that we may have that bread which only you can give, that can give us our daily bread, that we can have the food which only you can give, that can get us through the days and the weeks to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So, this week, I had a gospel-like experience, which I will share. I will keep the names anonymous to protect the innocent and the guilty. I will keep all of the names anonymous. So, around Valentine's Day, there's going to be a large part that will be skipped, so don't worry, it's not that long of a story. Around Valentine's Day, some friends of mine and I were discussing what we were going to do for our wives for Valentine's Day. We were all talking about Valentine's Day dinners and how mad chaotic it was and what we were going to do, and somebody came up with the idea of having a Valentine's Day breakfast. And someone suggested this place that I'd never heard of before. It was this place called Maple Street Biscuit Company. Obviously, I'm not alone in having heard of this place now. But I hadn't heard of it then. And they told me about this place. And the other person there hadn't heard of it either. But somebody had just given me a gift card for this place. And so I was intrigued. I got money to burn. And somebody's recommending this place. Okay, tell me more. So we went to this place. It's a little place in San Marco, and there's actually a place at the beach. And this place was amazing. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. It was, I can't even begin to describe it, although it was amazing. I'm becoming redundant here, but it was amazing. They have these incredible biscuits, but instead of using sugar to sweeten the biscuits, they use, imagine that, maple syrup. Hence, Maple Street Biscuit Company, which isn't on Maple Street, it's on San Marco Avenue. So, don't get confused. And they put all manner of things on these biscuits, and they're just the most delicious things that you've ever ruined your diet over. And so, I took my wife there for a Valentine's Day breakfast, and it was incredible. See, I do know other words. And then we went back and we raved about it, and it turns out that two of the three people that we were talking to actually went there that next day, and it was fantastic. So, flash forward to this week, I had received another gift card, for which I'm very grateful. And so I decided that I was going to take my daughter to this place because I wanted to let somebody else know how amazing, awesome this place was. English major, broad vocabulary. So we went to this place and tried something new. And this place has the most phenomenal sausage gravy that you could ever conceive of. And so we went there, and I had a little bit left over on this other gift card, and the one gift card just didn't quite cover everything, so I had it on the second one, and the young lady at the cash register was having a little trouble covering everything with it, and the owner walked up, because the owner actually buses tables, which is very cool, and he walked up and said, "Everything going okay here?" And it's like, "Yeah, you've got..." And you know they feel horrible when they do this. 65 cents, sir. No problem. And where did you get all these gift cards? Actually, I got them from a parishioner. Oh, really? Where do you preach? Church of Messiah over on in Arlington on Fort Caroline. Oh, that's great. Little conversation going on here about church. So we got our food and sat down and we're having a nice little meal, and the owner comes up and sets down two of their cinnamon pecan maple biscuits covered in wonderful, wonderful glazed icing, as if I hadn't shot my diet in the foot enough already. So Megan and I, darn, there goes the anonymity, had a spectacular little breakfast on our spring break. So it was inspiring. Okay? And it was really, really fun. It was a nice time, father-daughter time. Life was good. The owner came and chatted with us. It was just a really, really nice time. So I came to church later on and was talking about it. And I was telling two or three different people about it, and somebody came up and they're like, "Are you still talking about that biscuit place?" Yes, because it was that good. I'm probably going to talk about it more because it was that good. I'm going to tell everybody. I tweeted about it. I put it on Facebook. I took pictures. It was great. I'm going to look up that Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and send the guy an email because he should come get this thing. It was fantastic. I'm hoping that when he comes, he'll like email me and tell me to come, and I'll get like some free food and maybe like a, you know, pass or something. You know? Yeah. Anyway. So, bookmark that little story. We'll get back there. Now, let's go back to the gospel that we just heard. The story of the woman at the well. Okay? The woman at the well. We've probably heard this story before, but this story doesn't seem quite as fun as the story that I last told, because Jesus and his disciples, they get to Sychar in Samaria, which is not the friendliest neighborhood for the Jews. When Israel split, when Solomon's son Rehoboam got a little off the rails and started being a real tyrant, the northern 10 tribes of Israel split and became the kingdom of Israel, and they left the two southern tribes to become Judah. And Judah had its capital in Jerusalem, and Samaria became the capital of the north. Okay, but there was this other main city called Shechem, and right near it was a city called Sychar. And Sychar had this feature called Jacob's Well. And it was this really, really deep, almost possibly 600 feet deep well that was, they called it living water, which made it really special to the Jews. It wasn't a cistern. It didn't get filled up based on rain. It was like an aquifer. It was a continuously filled spring. So it didn't matter if it was a drought or what. This continuously had water. So they loved it. And it was continuously clean water. So there was no purity issues for them. But when the Assyrians came in and conquered the northern kingdom and took all those people off, they not only took those people off, but they imported in a bunch of foreigners. And so the kingdom of Samaria became a bunch of half-Jewish, half mongrelized everything else half-breeds, and they were not really Jews anymore. They were half-Jew mutts. They didn't worship the Lord like they were supposed to, and the Jews didn't have anything to do with them, and the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with the Jews. They didn't call them the northern kingdom anymore because they weren't even, they were hands off. So when the disciples and Jesus get into Samaria, they're not coming home. They're definitely entering foreign turf. So they get to Jacob's Well, And it may be some sort of ancestral landmark, but it is not in friendly territory. And Jesus says, I'm tired, boys. Go get me something to eat. I'll hang out here. And the disciples go into town, and Jesus hangs out there, which you should always suspect something. When Jesus says, I'm tired, I'll just hang back here, you had to think one of the disciples was like, nah, something fishy's going to happen. See what I did there? Yeah. Anyway, but let's look at the story. Let's look at what he actually says. So, now Jacob's well was there. Therefore, Jesus, being wearied from his journey, thus sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour would have been noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now, nobody does this, okay? Because you don't just go up to the well like you go up to a drinking fountain or the water cooler at the office. Pull out your little paper cup, get your little drink, go back to work. It doesn't work that way. You get your water for the day, so you're getting those big, like, 5-gallon things, putting them on your shoulder, putting them on your head, walking back to town, okay? So you do this either really early in the morning or really late in the evening when the sun is just coming up or when it's just going down, because then it's cool, all right? It's not the heat of the day. People only do this at noon when they're trying to avoid people, okay? All right, all the crowds go up in the morning, all the crowds go up at night, all right? The only people who go there up at noon are the people who are trying to avoid going to everyone else, all right? The people who don't want to be confronted by a whole mess of a lot of people. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? And then it says, not in quotes, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. It's kind of curious. You think he was wearing a t-shirt that said, you know, oy vey? Kiss me, I'm Jewish, if you're clean. You know. How does this work here? Well, the equivalent would have been something, they could have told by the accent, okay? We know from other passages that Jesus had a Galilean accent. I mean, this would have been clear, all right? It would have been like Jesus walking into New York and been like, well, howdy, ma'am, how about you fixing me up a nice glass of sweet tea? No. All right. She could tell by the way he spoke he was a Jew. What are you doing asking me for a drink, Jew? This is not a friendly conversation. And he replies in that enigmatic way that only Jesus can, that probably confuses everyone around him. He does that again with the disciples later on in the story. And she says, or he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. How does that work? Sir, you have nothing to draw and the well is deep. Yeah, it was sometimes 620 feet. Now the water level fluctuated. Sometimes it was as little as 60 feet, which is still requiring very long arms. Sometimes it was deep as 620 feet, so yeah, he was pretty much out of luck. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Now, remember, living water has to do with flowing water. It has to do with continually replenishing water. She's thinking of the well. He's thinking of the well spring. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and the livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. And the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." Yeah, but the woman didn't hear that last part. She heard, "will never thirst again." "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." See, that's what she didn't want. She didn't want to have to come there again. Probably, we might think, because she didn't want to haul the water, the buckets, the barrels, whatever it was she was carrying up there, and then back to town. But probably more so because she didn't want to deal with having to deal with the people. Remember, she's there in the middle of the day, not dealing with the crowds in the morning or in the evening. "Sir, give me this water, they may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, and now we get to the heart of the story, "Go call your husband." And the woman answered and said, "Sir, I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Now, if one of us did this, we would call it a word of knowledge. It would be a gift of the Spirit. Or we would colloquially say, he read her mail. He knows that she's been married five times. Now, I suppose it's possible that she outlived each of these chaps, but it's probably not likely. It's not likely, considering life expectancies for women at the time and life expectancies for men at the time, that this woman outlived all of her husbands. It's far more likely that she's been divorced several times, which would make her very much a painted woman. And the fact that the man she has now is not her husband would make her even worse. In fact, it pretty much explains why she's there at noon instead of there either in the morning with the crowds or in the evening with the crowds. At the risk of using very harsh language, this woman's pretty much the town slut. She is. Everybody knows it. That's why she doesn't want to be there in the morning. Frankly, she may be trying to avoid getting stoned. If everybody knows this, the man she's with now isn't her husband. There's another woman who gets caught in that in John's gospel later on, and they drag her out in the street and they try and stone her. Maybe that's why she's avoiding the crowd. She doesn't want to get killed. And Jesus calls her on it right there. The man you're with right now isn't even your husband. Yeah, right there. And she says, "Sir,